I was just going to say that one of the things that we did talk about in the conference
Rob
call,
Robinson,
I've contacted the
board member from Washington
Society of Certified Public Accountants and asked them if they would help us look for a retired member of that organization, a CPA, that would function for us in an operating capacity as the CFO and the treasurer, so that Jabari could focus on, you know, finance committee and policy issues. And as soon as I get the names of people that would be interested in talking to us about that, I'll transmit that to Jabari and to Leslie.
Thank you. Jabari?
Carol, just to deal with the issue of the budget, we have gotten many of the rudimentary information from the stations to put together a budget for the first three months, October through up to probably end of January. One of the problems, the operational problems, is just the finance system. We don't have all the stations able to post into the accounting system. So therefore, they can't put their records into the system so that we can even track what the expenses are from the past, let alone project what the expenses are into the future. So that's still an operational issue that's impacting the ability to actually create a budget. Beyond that, there's still a policy issue that the board really has to deal with from a philosophical point of view. The foundation controls and owns all the assets that are under the foundation. One of the issues that we just have to spell out, and one thing I would just like to just dispel and dismiss, is this idea that there is the stations and then there is the national. We're all one foundation, and we all have to really start acting and thinking like we're one foundation. We have been pushed into this situation where the stations used to have autonomy to generate and control their revenue streams, and the national was given a sort of like a stipend to operate on, and that's how it operated. The past executive director tried to consolidate those operations totally incompetently, but she tried to consolidate those things and actually put a worse burden on an overworked staff, and they weren't able to be done. So the autonomy has gone back to the stations as far as being able to manage their accounting system and write checks against their accounts. One thing we still haven't done, though, is to decide from a philosophical point of view the role of national and the relationship between the stations and what that is supposed to mean vis-a-vis financial and monetary policy. That's something that really has to be discussed. It has to be weighed out because, again, it's going to affect the total structure of the foundation. And we because I think there are more positions that need to be put at a national level to deal with things that only can be done efficiently from a national perspective, such as the IT information technology infrastructure, such as National Programming Director, which is one of the hot issues which we haven't dealt with as a board yet, such as a National Technology Utilization Staff that will develop the upcoming technologies and be on top of things so that we can do assessment. We got inventories to do of equipment. We got all these things that we need to get done, and they can't be done just at the local station level. There has to be some national component to monitor, to set procedures, to collect data, and to present it in a cohesive way to the board. So we really need to start thinking on a national level of how we're going to operate as a national foundation. And that's going to come, all these kind of things are going to come out of that discussion.
I just want to respond to Carol's points, because I think the point that you're making cannot be emphasized enough, especially in light of the $6 million spending spree that happened over the last 15 months from the end of 2000 through 2001. One of the critical recommendations in the report of the independent accountants was that each department had to be managed against a monthly budget and that there had to be a monthly report to the board. And that the board has to take an aggressive position on that recommendation and insist from the executive director's office as well as the general managers, as we move forward and get our financial house in order, that there has to be monthly financial reports to the finance committee or the treasurer from the department heads about their spending and revenues.
Could I follow up on that? That's the critical thing that didn't happen. The board didn't look at financial reports. They didn't get financial reports. That's our primary responsibility right here as an interim board. And I think that whatever has to be done to get it done must be done now.
Carol Spooner, okay. Following Dan Coughlin, following Jabari Zakiya.
Is there a motion on this question?
I'd like to just meet with Valerie after the meeting.
Okay, there was a proposal that seemed to get some support. I don't know that we need to formalize it, but a proposal that after the meeting tomorrow,
okay.
At the end of the session.
All right, the motion is that the Finance Committee and Jim Bennett and Valerie Van Isler, who have the institutional memory of the budgeting process, get together with Dan and Verna and Yasmin and try to formulate a plan to get this done as quickly as we can.
Right. Assuming Yasmin is feeling well.
Assuming Yasmin is feeling well.
Okay. Can we leave it a little flexible about the exact timing of this? Maybe you'll be over breakfast tomorrow morning. Or something.
Find a time tomorrow.
The Finance Committee, before the end of the weekend, meets with the appropriate national staff people
and with Jim
Bennett and Valerie Van Isler, who we are drafting to this meeting. We hope that's okay with both of them to do this work,
to figure this out.
Okay, David Furtick seconded. And yes, Mary?
Discussion on that to some extent. What does it take to get these monthly reports? Could the committee deal with that tomorrow?
The committee will look into how to make that happen.
Well, we need for it to happen, so I guess, you know, emotions don't get it. They got to be an operational process.
Right. Let me try and explain something that I think I have understanding on. Quite a while ago, software was bought and put into place, which has not yet been fully operational. And I know Yasmin is working on this. Jabari was talking about this earlier. That is software that is installed in all five stations and in the national office that will allow people, and it's working at several of the stations, but not all of them yet, that will allow people, the business managers or whoever keeps track of the finances in each station, to input information and to access information. And that same information will be available to the national office. So it will completely streamline the whole, not only bookkeeping operations and access to information, but also the monitoring of the budgets and how money is being spent and where it's coming from, and should make it possible, my understanding, to get monthly reports. That all of that is not working yet, and Yasmin is scheduling, she hopes within 2 weeks, a two-day session with the business people from each of the five stations going to Washington to get the training to make sure everybody knows how to do it so it can actually be working. And that should make it possible then to do, or certainly will be a big help in making it possible to do these monthly reports. Jabari?
That's what I was just going to say. But first, before training can be done, the software has to be configured to do what we want it to do. Unfortunately, when the software was first purchased, it wasn't purchased correctly. It wasn't purchased to be configured to do the things that Pacifica needed to have done. And Bessie or whoever purchased it didn't do a good job of purchasing it. So if all that really needs to be done, we need to get the software configured, and we need to get everybody at the stations trained. Once we get those figured in, once we get the software working and everybody trained to use it correctly, and we have the policies and procedures down, then we can start generating those reports. So it's more of an operational thing than a desire to not do it. We just don't have the capacity right now to do it.
Okay. Carol, and then I really would like to call the question on that.
A monthly report would be to compare the actual income and expenses against a budget. The budget is the thing I'd really, budgeting process is what I'd like us to meet about tomorrow.
Okay, so can we, okay. Ray.
About the $400,000, about spreading that money.
Ray, could you wait a second? Let's just act on this motion, because I have a feeling it's going to pass. I hope anyway. Can we vote on this motion? That is requesting that the Finance Committee and Valerie and Jim meet sometime this weekend and figure out how the budget is going to be put together. Right? All those in favor, please raise your hand. If you're in favor of asking that meeting to happen,
anybody,
if there's any opposition to that? No. Okay, so that's unanimous. Okay, Ray, your question.
Then, about the $400,000, is there any evidence of resistance to signing the document on an individual's part? And if so, what coercive means are available to us to get it done as soon as possible?
Okay.
There's some movement on that, and I think it would be fair to say that it'll be resolved within a week.
Let me just inform you that the document, I just got the document on Wednesday to sign it, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whatever. So I don't know when everybody else got it. It just happened, though. So I think on Monday we need to check and see if all those signatures are in. And if any are not in yet, because they can all be facts, you know, it's going to all happen very quickly.
I'm going to step in here for a minute. This is Larry Bensky to tell you that you're listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting from Los Angeles. You're listening to it on KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI New York, and KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. This entire question of having a controller, having regular reports, has been kicked around the Pacifica Board for many years now, and you would think that a $12 million a year organization would be able to put in appropriate software and purchase it and use it. The fact is, however, that there are no people on this board right now, and I don't think on many, if any, of the local advisory boards who have accounting backgrounds. And this is something we've had in Pacifica in the past and don't now have, and therefore we seem to be floundering around with a lack of data. And when the data do come up, of course, as of recently, they're horrific. But this board at least is trying to remedy that situation.
The proposal or the recommendation from him that we move toward a, that we not move toward, but actually implement the search for a person. And Rob reported that he's working on this, but this board never formally voted to accept that we move to finding someone who can serve in a non-paid, voluntary capacity, not a board member, to serve as our treasurer/chief financial officer, someone who has accounting and fiscal management background, who actually knows how to read ledgers and the such, to work as the liaison, as the bridge between the board and the finance office, and to make sure that all the processes are in motion and being carried out, that reports are being filed in an orderly way, that the board is getting the information it needs, and giving whatever background and information the board needs to make sense of the reports that it's getting. So is there a motion to do this? So moved by Marion Barry. A second? And Ray seconded it. Is there any discussion?
Yeah.
All right, yes.
We need to discuss what the job description of this person will be, because I think Dave raised the question about whether you want a paid person or you want a volunteer person. I think that's a really serious issue, because depending on what the job description is, this is a lot of work. And like I keep telling Yasmin, no one could be paid to do the stuff. You know, she's lucky she's getting paid, because I've been there every day and dealing with stuff, and I'm not paid. And the issue is, what kind of efficiencies can you get out of a person that can just walk away? I think the issue Dave raised
is something that we have to consider, because first, we don't have a job description.
Jabari, can I just jump in? I think that Janice has in front of her the exact proposal from the accountant, the recommendation, which is a job
description. And it certainly could serve as one. Pacifica needs to recruit a CFO with ideally a banking and financial background, preferably an MBA, expertise in nonprofit budgeting and controls, with banking, finance, and donor or fundraising contacts. The position should not be filled with a member of the board. That seems pretty straightforward.
No, that's not a job description.
You want the rest, perhaps a qualified retiree wishing to voluntarily support the foundation in its time of crisis could be found to serve for a year at a time on a permanent part-time basis of approximately 20 hours per week. And then there are specific duties here.
Right. So it is kind of spelled out in the recommendation. I don't know if everyone has that in front of them.
Everybody's got
that. Yeah, everyone's gotten it in the past. I don't know if you have it in front of you now. If not, several people do have it. You could probably share. So are there other comments, Jabari? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Again, if listeners would like to see that, it's available on the Pacifica.org website or the SavePacifica.net website.
It's very important that whoever, if anybody comes in, that they are working cohesively with the finance staff, and that there's not a redundancy of activity going on. I think whoever this person is, there should be a clarity, and we should spell out the clarity. These are recommendations from an uninterested third party on what they think we should do. We should spell out specifically what we want this person's position to do vis-a-vis what we think are the requirements and needs of Pacifica right now. And we just need to take responsibility for that, so that we spell out what the role of this person is, not some other third party, so that when we acquire
WBAI New York,
they do exactly what we want them to do.
Okay, Janice, and I think Carol
wants
to speak to that.
Okay, Jabari, one reason we have this independent auditor's report, there's nobody on this board who has a financial or budgeting background, and we need somebody to try to unravel what was going on. It just seems that we should take the recommendations that we paid these people for. We got a grant for it, but we asked them to do this. Now they're making recommendations for something. It makes common sense. And the reason we asked them to do it is because we don't know. So why would we ask them to do it and say, no, we're going to make up the different parameters?
Janice K. Bryant, this is Carol Spooner.
No,
it's not.
Call the question. I'm sorry, David.
I just want to clarify. Jabari correctly noted that I had observed in the finance committee meeting. Thank you for putting that sign up. It's a great sign. Isn't that a great sign?
Yeah.
It says Pacifica Foundation. That when we were talking about this position, my only concern was, or my primary concern was, that there be accountability. When we bring somebody in as a volunteer, you can make only so many demands upon them, and as an employee, you have a slightly different relationship. Furthermore, if they're going to have authority to conduct certain business on behalf of the foundation. But I think that so long as we're aware of that need of accountability and control, I'm not worried about having volunteer work, as long as they're accountable and susceptible to control.
Okay, can we move to vote on this? Carol, did you call the question? Okay, question's been called. So, all those, can we do a show of hands, or do you want to do a roll call?
Can we state the motion?
The motion is to accept the recommendation as read by Janice to find a new chief financial officer / treasurer. I think the motion, if I might just add to it, that obviously we would need further discussion with such a person to clarify both what their responsibilities are, what their role is, who they report to, how they work hand-in-hand with the finance office, you know, to spell out all the details. Okay. I mean, that's part of the motion. Okay? Okay, so I'll do a roll call on this. Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Yeah. George Barnstone.
Can you please tell me what the motion is once again?
The motion is to accept the recommendation to by the accountant to seek on a volunteer basis a chief financial officer / treasurer to serve as a liaison between the board and the finance office to help with the coordination of financial information, answering the questions we have, getting the information we need, helping prepare budgets, et cetera, that once such person is found, to negotiate with them, to work out with them the exact relationship, how many hours they put in, exactly what we want them to do, how to do it, the relationship with the office, et cetera. But to move forward to try and put, you know, to put this into place. That's the proposal. We're in the middle of a vote. Teresa has already voted yes. George, I was doing that for George's benefit. George, are you prepared to vote or do you want to come back?
Please come back to me.
Okay. Marion Barry? Pete Branson?
Yes.
Janice Bryant?
Yes.
Dave Furtick?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Carol Spooner?
Yes.
Jabari Zakiya?
Is this including, I just want to be clarified, CFO / treasurer. Now, what does that mean?
That person would be our treasurer.
So that means that the treasurer would be a non-
Board member.
I think
right.
We need to. There's a difficulty with that per the settlement agreement.
I don't believe there is. I don't believe the settlement agreement specifies that the treasurer or the secretary, for that matter, needs to be a member of the board.
I think the settlement.
Okay, Jabari. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but we are in the middle of a vote. So do you want to vote yes or no or abstain or? We're in the middle of a vote.
Based on the issue of whether you're removing the treasurer's position out of a board position, there's an issue of the settlement agreement I think needs to be clarified. If the issue is just a CFO, then that is one thing. But to say that this person, this non-board person, is now the treasurer is an issue that has to be dealt with in the light of the settlement agreement.
I believe, in the course of that day.
I understand, but that's a disagreement because it doesn't, the settlement agreement specifically says that there will be three officers and it says that they will come from the directors. It didn't specifically say that the chair, I mean, if you take that interpretation, none of the officers have to be board members. If you take that interpretation.
I believe that you are correct. The proposal is on the treasurer question, though. Somebody could make a proposal about the chair or about the secretary, but now we're talking about the treasurer. I believe your interpretation is correct. I have read the settlement agreement. It does not say that these officers have to be members of the board.
I'm right.
With all due respect, the question's on the table.
Yeah, the Marion's reading also. So, again, we are in the middle of a vote. I hate to be a stickler for detail, but, Jabari, I don't mean to put you up against the wall here, but you can vote yes or no or abstain.
Well, based on that ambiguity, then I have to vote no.
Okay, so that's no. And myself, Leslie Kagan, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, George. We can go back to George.
I want to make sure I understand Jabari's concern.
The concern is that the settlement agreement says that three officers are board members.
No,
it doesn't.
No,
that's my
concern, that there's three officers board members and that this one position is now being given to a non-board member that could be a volunteer. And that's something I think we should discuss fully in light of the settlement agreement and the implications of it in light of other things. So that's my concern. And I have the settlement agreement. And that's, in other words, on the face of it, it could just be illegal to give somebody the power to be treasurer that's not on the board.
David has the settlement agreement and is reading it right now. David, do you speak any language related to this?
Not yet.
Jabari Zakiya, who's talking about this, is the present board treasurer and is on the board. If this resolution passed, it would seem that it would remove him as treasurer, potentially.
Well, David is reading it right now, and there's only one or two sections of the settlement agreement that where this would be. So, David, if you don't find it, it's...
I second that.
What do you second?
That is out of order. I'm asking us to be patient, to give David another 30 seconds to look for this. He's looked at it. He's looking at it again. He doesn't seem to be able to find.
The settlement agreement they're talking about is the settlement in Alameda County Superior Court of the four lawsuits pending against Pacifica. Three lawsuits, really. Settled last December. There were many specific measures in there.
Dead air. I'm going to make a
what's operative is paragraph 7, subpoint 3. There will be no executive committee, only a chair, a treasurer, and a secretary.
Thank you. There is no language that says that the treasurer has to be a member of the board.
But the beginning says the working interim board. That section comes under a major section called the working interim board, and when the reference is to the board, the reference is not to other volunteers. The reference to positions and the fact that there's no executive committee is obviously a reference to the board positions.
Okay, David.
Clarification: the only reference to officers in that is that electing officers does not require a majority. And there's no constraints upon having a non-elected treasurer.
Right. Again, now there are both several signers to the settlement agreement and several other national board members who have looked at the settlement agreement. I think the overwhelming sense of the reading of this is that this is doable. This is allowable under the terms of the settlement agreement. The only question is whether or not this board wants to do it. We are just about through with this voting. We can redo the vote based on this last round of conversation, which would be highly irregular, but I'm willing to do that for the sake of just being very, very clear about what's happening and how it's happening. Or Jabari can cast his vote. What's the sense of the body? George hasn't cast his vote yet.
Leslie, I think implicit in the statement, there will be no executive committee, only a chair, a treasurer, and a secretary. That means those positions will be held by board members, although I very clearly hear you say there's no requirement in this document. There's no statement in this document that says or requires that the chair, treasurer...
I'm sorry, George, are you reading section G... Point three, there will be no executive committee, only a chair, a treasurer, and a secretary. Is that what you're reading?
Yes.
Okay. That's what it says. That's the exact language. It does not say that you can't have a treasurer who's not a board member. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to rule on this, that we are done with this discussion. We have to complete the vote. George, you are more than free to vote against this. Or to abstain, or to vote yes. However, can we get a vote, George? George?
I'll vote for it.
Okay, yes. So,
Madam Chair, I would like to bring a vote for reconsideration.
Okay, we have nine. Let me just announce that the vote is 9 yeses and 1 no vote, right? So, and there is now a motion for reconsideration. Hold on 1 second, please.
There's a parliamentarian present who's being consulted right now by Board Chair Leslie Kagan. This is the first vote that the board has taken this weekend, and clearly there's some contention about whether or not the auditor's report, the independent auditor's report, allows
something
that may or may not have been envisaged or authorized by the settlement agreement. That is the selection, recruiting of a chief financial officer and treasurer who might not be a board member. The person leading opposition to this is the present treasurer, Jabari Zakiya, whose job, unpaid, would be superseded by another unpaid person who might not be on the board, would not be on the board if this were followed. And as I mentioned before, the lack of expertise in this area would seem to indicate that somebody with accounting and chief financial officer background would be necessary in Pacifica, and has been necessary for some time.
What I want to clarify was that a motion to reconsider, this is actually a tricky question here. A motion to reconsider requires a majority vote. We work under rules that require a two-thirds vote. So I think I think on this item, as all other votes, we have to, the motion to reconsider would need two-thirds to carry. Because the settlement agreement is clear on that all decisions by this board require either a balanced majority or a two-thirds vote.
Procedural votes, though.
I'm sorry, there's nowhere in the settlement agreement that says except procedural votes. This I know.
No.
If the motion passes, then my understanding is then there will be more discussion. And then another vote. Okay? So we move right to a motion to reconsider.
Okay.
Okay? So, again, I'm going to do a roll call. Did I get that wrong?
Call the question.
Right, we're going to vote on it. Let's take the vote, and then we'll see.
Call the question.
Parliamentarian, again, is consulting with Leslie Kagan.
Okay, so we're going to do this by roll call vote. Again, the motion is to reconsider. If the motion passes, they will have some more conversation, more debate, discussion, and then someone will call the question again and we'll vote again. Okay, that's what we're doing right now. Okay, so motion to reconsider. Teresa Allen.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes. This is a personal thing, but Madam Chair doesn't sit well. Okay, George Barnstone.
Yes, my good friend, Leslie.
Thank you. Marion Barry. Marion Barry.
Yes.
Yes, no, consider? No. Pete Bramson.
No.
Janice Bryant.
No.
David Furtick.
Her boss person, no.
That's worse. Ray LaForest.
No.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Carol Spooner.
No.
Jabari Zakiya.
Yes.
And myself, Leslie Kagan, no. So what's that come to?
Seven no, four yes.
Seven no and four yes. So it doesn't carry. So.
So there needs to be clarification in the sense of this / treasurer. What does that officially do to the position of treasurer?
Well, again.
Because. In light of the fact that the settlement agreement vis-a-vis the positions of board members call for a treasurer as a board position.
Again, we disagreed on the interpretation on the reading of the settlement agreement. We do not believe that the settlement agreement does that. Further, what we voted on and accepted by a 9-1 vote before was the accepting of the recommendation from the accountant, which clearly says this position should not be filled with a member of the board. That's part of that language that Jan has read that was before us all.
So does the CFO have signature authority on the accounts?
Well, we could make a determination about that. Part of the resolution, part of what we voted on, was that the details of the relationship would still have to be worked out once we find the person.
Point of procedure. There's no motion on the floor. I urge you to move the agenda.
Okay. We'd like to move the agenda. So, what I would like to do is, those are the action items that we need to take. Several people signed up from the community for a comment. I would like to ask people to make very, 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 very brief comments. Oh, we seem to have some visitors.
Some musical comments are seeming.
Well, hello. I'm Simone Sachs of the Billionaires Before Media Mergers. It sounds like Pacifica has financial problems, and we have a solution. So think we'll propose that right now. I own this entire city. Here
we
go.
Too much money. We can do whatever we want.
We're billionaires, you know.
It won't be hard. We'll possess her and bless her. When the left starts to let down its guard, any mention of dissension, we will crush it like a bug. And pull the plug.
Oh no, who's that? It looks like angry listeners. Oh no, are they going to take the station back? Oh my goodness.
A large crowd of people has now jammed into the auditorium as listeners, and I think we're going to hear some more singing.
And our favorite program, they took them off the air. They silenced many voices that inspired us to care. We came from the stations in their purple underwear. The sympathy is ours.
Listen to our mighty station in its grand emancipation. Feel the listener.
So very dear, they lost a lot of listeners with every passing year. We sent those traitors packing and we made a joyful cheer. The sympathy is ours. Listen to our mighty station in a grand emancipation. Feel the listener's elation. The and they threw them away. Their lawyers and security made off with lots of pay. But they're gone, we're dawning on a new and better day. Pacifica is ours. Listen to our mighty station in its grand emancipation. Feel the listener's elation.
Standing ovation at Virgil Middle School Auditorium for this impromptu group of musicians, some of whom I recognize as billionaires for Bush and Gore from the August 2000 Democratic Party convention here in Los Angeles.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, there's several people who signed up for listener comment. We are running very, very late, and we're not quite yet done with this agenda item, but I do want to take your comments. Please be extremely to the point. Diane Solomon?
Well, I want to say, first of all, how happy I am. We have such a board and beautiful people. Thank you for the new board. My name's Diane Solomon, and I'm the democratically elected board member, one of them from KPFA's local advisory board, and I've served as treasurer. And you haven't heard from me before because every time I've tried to contact Pacifica in the past, I always got blown off. So I'm so glad, and we have such a great treasurer in Jabari Zakia. I'm just very glad he's here. With respect to the financial management, of the Pacifica Foundation, I just wanted to let you know that we're anxious that the mistakes of the past are not repeated, and that both for-profit and non-profit organizations have a watchdog function, and it's called the Finance Committee, and I was happy to hear Jabari talk about that. And I'd like to hereby request that you form this Finance Committee, headed by your treasurer, as soon as possible, and we ask that it include each local advisory board's treasurer and other knowledgeable and interested parties of good character. And we ask that this committee develop written guidelines, policies, and procedures that will ensure that the mistakes of the past are not repeated. We hope this committee will implement long-term fundraising strategies and will oversee the drafting of clear written guidelines about how Pacifica funds itself from its member stations and how these funds are employed by Pacifica. And we ask that you put in place safeguards to ensure that all monies borrowed from Pacifica stations are accounted for and that are paid back in a reasonable amount of time, and request that guidelines be developed so everybody can know how this works and that such transactions can be monitored by the Finance Committee and other interested parties. We know that Pacifica has been borrowing money from KPFA, and we know there's been a crisis in terms of the finance function. You haven't really had a general ledger, which is a real basic. But once this is together, and it sounds like it's going to be together very quickly, we ask that all borrowings from KPFA be documented and a procedure for payback be implemented. I was talking to Phil Acegueda, KPFA's assistant general manager, and Eileen Carr, the medicines manager slash bookkeeper, and we don't know how much has been taken, including the account that was seized in December, and we ask that there be an accounting and a payback procedure. We also request that written guidelines be developed that document the percentage of listener support that each Pacifica station is to provide to the national organization. It's my understanding from talking to, again, Phil Acegueda and Eileen Carr, it's really difficult to budget because they don't know how much money is supposed to go to Pacifica. So how do they plan what they're supposed to do? Personally, I'd like to see each station have control of 100% of the money that they raise, and they remit an agreed-upon percentage to Pacifica, an agreed-upon budgeted levy. So we hereby request that Pacifica Foundation's reconstituted finance committee be set up as soon as possible and develop and document practices and procedures that ensure that the Pacifica Foundation is accountable to its listenership, to its donors, to its member stations, and its most noble mission. Just one more thing. I hope there's no empire building. Sometimes in an organization that has an office and staff, but maybe not a lot of projects, it will very quickly try to justify its existence. And I think some good questions have been asked about keeping the function in Washington, D.C. and justifying that. And I'm hoping that you don't hastily put in place a lot of projects just to justify having an office in Washington. Again, we'd like the Finance Committee reconstituted under the most able leadership of Jabari Zakia, and I'm so glad that you're all here. And onward and upward. Bye-bye. Peace to you. Okay.
Diane Solomon of the KPFA Local Advisory Board.
Kai, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I pronounced your name. Kai Utsumu? Utsumi?
Again, if people wanted to see that treasurer's report and the recommendation about a chief financial officer, they can find it at www.pacifica.org.
My name is Kay.
Sorry.
I'm probably going to repeat some things, but...
Please don't.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I'm repeating and what I'm not, so just in case. But the lady on the previous panel that said she asked for grants, considering grants from FEMA... and Red Cross, did I hear right? All I want to say is beware of who you take grants from. Beware of the strings attached. They may ask for your blood in return. I think, Mr. Jabari, you were saying you're on a vision of doubling the budget to $25 million, but I want to caution you that you need a solid structural foundation of how the board is structured so that the same thing doesn't happen. I personally think you should have 10 of the 50 members from the local advisory board, but I don't know. That was part of the problem. You know, the hijackers wanted to reach a broad audience and diluted the real issues and try to make more fundraising. And all I want to put in a plug for Raya Dunayaskaya, because you probably haven't heard of her. She should be a household name like Noam Chomsky, if not more so. News and letters.
Thank you. Okay, we have two more speakers. Sydney Madsen. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name right. Sydney. And again, Sydney and the next speaker both spoke earlier, so if you could keep it really short.
Okay, briefly, I was glad to hear that the executive director and maybe it was general managers had taken voluntary salary cuts, and that is good. But I would like to see a posting of what salaries are within the organization so we know in dollar amounts how much people are earning. And if you want to put comparative salaries from, you know, the regular networks, that's fine, too, so we can compare. There was something in this Kimmerling-Margulies report about loans against property, and I'm just wondering what that means. Are we putting up the property at KPFA station, taking out loans and endangering the loss of the precious property that we do have? I'd like some clarification. And also, I thought we were going to work to get independent of CPB money. And CPB strings.
Okay, just quickly on the loans question. My understanding is that we're looking into the possibility of remortgaging, of refinancing the mortgages, so you don't lose control of the property. You're just refinancing. People do that with their houses all the time. It's a way to get cash. It just means you're tied into paying off the mortgage for a longer period of time. On the question of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting money, this is not a settled question. This is an issue that needs to be debated in this period where we examine our bylaws and think about governance and how we work as an organization. That needs to be on the agenda. There needs to be an open and clear debate and discussion. But your assumption that this was decided, if I heard you correctly, is not, and you shouldn't have that assumption. That may be a lot of people's position, but the organization has not achieved clarity or agreement yet on that question. It needs to be debated further.
Okay, but just the loans require interest, and if we can generate money to repay loans, we should be able to generate the money without the loan. So thank you.
Right. Again, no decisions have been made about that. I think people are just, as people on our national staff, are just exploring to see. But no firm decisions are made, so that should be taken into account, definitely. Okay, Maria.
We have Pacifica owns property in Houston, here in Los Angeles, and also in Berkeley.
To keep the cost of fundraisers down, many of the Pacifica stations sound like mail order houses these days when they do fundraisers. And we're really not in the business of selling cups and keychains and CDs. The other two items are more of concern. I don't know what you meant when you mentioned the archives, but whatever it was, I would like to plead with everybody that the archives that Pat Scott wanted to make into money-making ventures will never be that. They're a legacy and a trust, and we should all get ready to support the archives with our contributions instead of commercializing them, if that indeed was... The other item was already mentioned by the previous speaker, the doubling of the budget. There are, you talked a lot about growth, which really scared me, because there are two models of growth. One is biological, that's cancer, and one is economic, and that's the WTO. And we don't really want to be associated with either one of them. There is a really amazing document. It's a dissertation written by somebody named Stebbins, who analyzed this amazing project of listener sponsorship and said we would have been successful had we kept our budgets within the perimeters of what listeners were able and willing to give. And I think if we do talk about growth, we need to talk about growth in what context, in what perimeter, and the listener sponsorship should be the realm of growth, which would also exclude eventually, hopefully, Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Corporation for Public Broadcasting currently provides between $1 and $1.5 million of the approximately $11 million in the Pacifica budget.
So within each of the five listening areas. The one other agenda item, which unfortunately I don't believe we really have the time it needs, is the fundraising part of this. Above and beyond the on-air fundraising, which obviously each station is paying a great deal of attention to, and the national office staff talked about that too. I know I personally would like to make a commitment to do some work as a board member, and I want to invite the rest of the board for us to consider ways that as board members we can be involved in raising money. That's not to say that each of us individually has to write out large checks, because most of us can't. but we all can do something. And I'm willing to take some leadership on this in terms of circulating. I'm sorry I didn't have it ready for today's meeting, but some ideas to the board about specific things that we can do individually and in groups and collectively toward that effort. So I don't know if anybody wants to add any particular thing about fundraising right now, but at least we need to put it on the record that it needs our attention and our active work. Okay? Okay. I hear that as a resounding commitment from everybody on the board to do a lot of fundraising. Okay. Great. Why don't we move on? Again, we are way behind in our agenda, but the next agenda item is, again, a critically important piece of the work that we have, and that is the mandate. One of the major mandates of this interim board was to develop the process through which we would, and by we, I don't just mean the board, but this organization in all our component parts, will review and revise the bylaws of this organization, or another way of saying that, the governance structures of this organization, and related to that is the establishing, putting together, and then putting into place the guidelines and the actual putting into practice of the elections of the local advisory boards. And what we want to do with today's agenda item, and I'm sorry if this wasn't clear enough to people in advance, is not to get into the heart of the matter. It's not to say Section 4 of the bylaws should read, but rather to talk about the process, about how we're going to do this during this period of the interim board. And Carol has circulated a proposal, which I believe we have in front of us. Does everybody have a copy on the board? Everyone was put in front of... one was put in front of everyone's... It's called Proposal for Establishment of a Board Committee to Review and Draft Proposed Revisions to the Pacifica Foundation Bylaws. It's a very brief title. But Carol, maybe you could just summarize, to walk us through it. And then we can discuss this and see if there are changes and modifications. And we do want to hear community comments and input on this, too. Again, when we get both for the board and for the community comment, what we want is to focus on process, on how to best organize the most thorough and inclusive process and conversations and debate and dialogue so that we end up with the best new bylaws and the best election process possible. So, Carol?